If you haven't received your healing, maybe you have already, but if you haven't received your healing while you're sitting there, I believe that if you just allow the Spirit of God to saturate and flow over you. You know, there's no better time to receive Jesus as well as if you're sitting here and inside you're dry, just like a desert. And that's where God's Spirit, when He flows over you, causes you to just to taste Him and see that He's so good. Amen. Hallelujah. And it'll begin to birth things in you, friends, if you're going through a desert experience, that you would not believe that the things that God placed in you that He's going to bring to life. The giftings and new circumstances and give you the right and the power to do His work. Amen? Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, let's take a look at John, the Gospel of John. I'm using the New King James Version. John chapter 11. It is a fairly long discourse, but we're not going to read the whole thing. It's about the resurrection of Lazarus, Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And we know the story that Jesus was passing by, and Martha and Mary, they loved Jesus and Lazarus, their brother. They said, "Our brother just is sick. And it's unto death." And they asked Jesus, "Could you just come by and heal him? Just come by like you've done other times with other people and come by and heal him." Jesus said he's not, after he found out afterwards that he was dead, he wasn't really dead, Jesus said, he's just sleeping. Sometimes Jesus can say things to us that you want to almost, I say this reverently, you almost want to reach out and slap him. How dare you? There may be people here this morning, some of the things I might have said under the unction of the Holy Spirit. How dare you? And you want to slap me or Jesus or both of us? You need to slap yourself awake this morning and taste and see that God is real. He's here this morning. He hasn't changed. But we're in the process of change, and I want to change for the better. And God wants you to change for the better. And sometimes that means is that the killer that's in the house, one of the main killers that's in the house of the Lord today in people, is pride. If you've been thinking something, if you've organized all your thoughts to fit in a certain pattern, this is the way it's going to happen. Just let me clue you in on this. When Jesus passes by, you're going to fall on the ground. You are going to be changed, whether you like it or not. I think you'll like it, though. Praise God. It says something here, the verses I want to look at this morning and concentrate on are verses 21 through 23. Now, Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here," how many people here have been in this predicament? Maybe you're here this morning. "Lord, if you had been here or there when I asked you to be, but you weren't. It seemed you weren't." Most of us would say he wasn't. But how many know the words of Jesus? He says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." You may not see Jesus with these two things. You may not necessarily sense the presence of God when you're going through things. But I can guarantee you from my life, and I've been walking with Jesus a long time, older than most people are here. I can say that now, and it sounds yuck, but it's true. When Jesus said something, and when he says something, it will come to pass. And Jesus is able to do the miraculous. He wants to do the miraculous here this morning. But it's going to take a couple of things. It's going to take your response. It's going to take your attitude change. It's going to cause, just like Martha's going to, we're going to see here, it's going to take a cooperation of your faith rising up and believing what Jesus said he would do and his word, what his word says, and taking a hold of it by faith, no matter what the world is telling you, no matter what your brain is telling you, no matter what other people are telling you, no matter what the doctors are telling you, no matter what your financial advisors are telling you, no matter what the world is saying. When you hear Jesus, He created it all, and His Word is far above anything, even where we are. And so are His thoughts. And so are His ways of doing things. So just be at ease, and I need to be at ease this morning to trust and believe, because there's no other way, friends. There's no other way. That you need, what you need is how you're going to receive it, and God will do it for you. There's no other way you're going to get it. Any other way you try to get it, there's going to be a cost, because man is greedy by nature. Doctors are greedy, in a sense, by nature. Banks are greedy by nature. Other things, the devil himself is filthy greedy. He started it all. He's greedy. But Jesus, the Creator of all things, gave us all things. Has anyone paid here for the sun to rise this morning? And it wasn't a beauty. It still is. Hey? Has anyone paid for it to rain? Has anyone paid for your grass to grow? Has anyone paid for your children to be alive? For you to be here and alive? You didn't pay a thing. God has given it to you. We forget sometimes because we're always used to, okay, just a second, pull it out, get either your plastic card or whatever, or you make some kind of an agreement financially. The only thing God requires of us today, friends, is what we're going to see here in this short little story, is our faith. That's the currency of heaven, faith. You're not going to go anywhere in God's kingdom without faith. Your circumstances, whether it's in your body or outside, is not going to change except through your faith in God's Word. Praise God. It says here, now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Let's just take it a little bit of a stretch here. And it's not necessarily maybe you're facing your brother's death or maybe a death in the family. Maybe it's a death of some circumstance that you've gone through. And it may be a death in your family. It may be a death of a loved one or one that you know that lost a loved one. This is all part of what life throws at us, friends, today. But remember, never take Jesus out of the equation when you're living in this life, because He has authority over it. He's given us as His people authority over this life. Now Martha said to Jesus, my brother would not have died, but even now I know. So there's somewhere in her heart that's coming out. There's a little bit of faith starting to rise up, even in the midst of a horrible circumstance. But I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And He did. We've seen it. But what we need to see here today is we need to know that this scripture, this verse 22, that whatever we ask, God will give us by faith. Jesus said it red letters. Whatever you ask, the reason why you don't have is because you don't ask. Whatever you ask, I'll give you. Have you asked God this morning? Maybe you're sitting here and you need a change of some type, whatever it is. I don't know you. Your background. I don't know most people here at all. Except by faith what Jesus says, you can ask God and He will give you. Lining your life right with God. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. I want to concentrate on these three verses this morning very quickly. This miracle is the seventh miracle that we find in the Gospel of John. There's other miracles that lead up to this, but each one is so significant, but this one is tantamount. It's the apex. It's the very top of God trying to show His people something that is about to take place with the one who's standing talking to His disciples and the one who's talking to us today, friends, through His Word and the power of His Spirit today. The other miracles that we see is the very first one. Who knows what the first one is in the Gospel of John? The very first miracle. Yes, and what happened? Water to wine. They had wine. But when Jesus told His disciples to do various things, to go out and take care of these cisterns that carry 20, 30 gallons. Fill them up with water. Not wine, water. He's the best winemaker because he created the grapes and the vine and the earth where they get their nourishment and the rain that gives them the life. The second miracle we see is by faith and grace, Jesus healed a nobleman's son. So there was sickness that we see Jesus was able to overcome through the power of God working through him. And these were literal needs that people had in their lives. If you have a sick one, Jesus is able to heal you, able to heal your son, able to heal your daughter, able to heal you. The third one we see, in the defiance of the Sabbath keepers, Jesus healed an impotent man. On a Sabbath? Does this mean that Jesus can heal someone here today on the Sabbath? Yes, he can, because he's the Lord of the Sabbath. The fourth one that we see here, he set a table. You know, it's one thing to set a table in your home. It's another thing, ladies, and I've seen this, it's a very English thing to do, is you get your little picnic basket and you have your little plaid blanket and you on the grass outside and you set everything outside, you cut your little sandwich in nice little quarters, keep your fingers up when you eat them. Just kidding. Jesus set a table in the wilderness for 5,000 men headcount. Over 20,000 people were fed that day in the wilderness, not by Mackey's, not by Hungry Jack's, not Pizza Hut, not KFC, but Jesus, you see. Think about it. Over 20,000 people were they had a need that day. They were with Jesus all that day, and some were about ready to pass out. You see, it was pretty warm in the places where Jesus went, where he lived. And there wasn't food in this particular area, except if you wanted to eat grass wherever you can find it, like a lamb somewhere. He set a table out there, set them in orders of 50s. And all of a sudden, you know, it just happened. Where is the lunch going to come from? Stand up, young fella. From a little fellow like Thomas, who had lunch. His disciples brought, thank you, son. His disciples, you can sit down. Unless you have something you want to give us. No. Yeah. He's holding on to his iPad reel. Nobody's getting this, man. The fifth one that we see is that in this chapter, in the same chapter, he rescued his own disciples in a raging sea. There was a storm going on, but he told his men to go on the other side, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the storm, do you have a storm that you're in the middle of right now? Jesus is seen walking on the water, and they thought he was a ghost. Wouldn't you? Because I have never seen someone walk on the water. It looks like sometimes people walk on the water when they're on surfboards or some other apparatus. But they're not really walking on water. They're not defying the principles that are set, that have been set into motion. But you see, God created those principles, and he can recreate a few things if he wants to. And Jesus walked on the water. He not only walked on the water, he stopped the raging sea and caused peace in the middle of the storm and caused his men to go to the place where he asked them to go. Jesus is asking every single one of us in our lives, there's a place and a destiny for us to reach. On the way, there are going to be storms. But know this, in the middle of the storm, if your eyes are not on Jesus, I tell you something, friends, you're going to find Jesus, your Savior, walking on the water, and you might think he's a ghost. You might think, well, what is going on here? But you're going to find out that it's the Christ who you accepted as your Lord and Savior, who created all things, and by him and through him, all things consist, including yourself. God's going to get you to the place where he's asked you to go. You're not a failure. God does not create failures. Don't. In fact, let me see. There may be some here. Who here thinks that you are a failure? Bunch of lying things. Well, I've got my hand up. Anyone else here? Come on. All of our hands should be going up. Two hands. I see those two hands back there. Come on up now. Every single one of us think at certain times that we're failures. I've never entered this decade of my life, and in some ways I feel like I am a failure. But I know the one who I trust in, because I just have to look back on the past decades of my life and see that Jesus walked with me every step of the way and has got me the promises and has got me to the places where he said, I'm taking you. No matter how bad the storms were, I got there. No matter what people thought, I got there. No matter what the world said, I got there. No matter what the devil accused me of, I got there. To the lot. Sometimes you just got to look at people, things, devil, world, and just pardon my vulgarity. But that's, you got to be real in life. That the sixth one that we see here is that he gave sight to one who was blind. Can you imagine seeing the first time in your life, if you've never seen before, what that experience would be like? There's one place and one incident where each of us had our eyes open for the first time, and that's when we were born again. But there are people in the natural that Jesus healed of blindness. And it's not just for, you know, way back then. People are being healed of all diseases and blindness and deafness and lameness today. We just don't hear about it that much because the world media is under the world, one world order. Their orders are not to let it out. But on God TV, go to conferences, go to churches, go to places where missionaries have spent their lives building things that God has called them to do, and you find, friends, the miracles are taking place. The seventh one we see here today is the resurrection of a dead man. You can't get any lower. You can't get any worse in your experience, friends. Is anyone here dead? Raise your hand. If you raise it, you're a liar. Oh, you've been resurrected while we were sitting here. The difference in this miracle is that the other miracles require the faith and also the cooperation or the response of the person who needed the miracle to take place. But I tell you something, this miracle that we're looking at today, friends, Lazarus was dead. He didn't have any faith. So what's God trying to show us? What's God trying to do? He says, even in spite of all the things that you can face in this world that you're going through, he says, I'll heal you. I'll take care of all of your needs. But because you are alive, you need to have faith in my word, faith in me. Just believe. Not do it. Just believe. But if it doesn't work out and you die, you are still the winner. Lazarus was resurrected. Poor thing about Lazarus' resurrection was he had one day to die again of old age. And the resurrection for him is coming again. He'll really know what's hit him, the resurrection power, because he's not only going to rise up with his old body healed, he's going to rise up like all of us on that last day, whether you're dead or alive. It says that we're going to have new bodies. Resurrection power flowing through us. And the world is going to be saying, you can't go. And we're going to say, we're going. Because God's here and he's taken me. Hallelujah. And guess who's going to be waiting on the other side besides Jesus? All the saints of heaven and all your loved ones that you lost that knew Jesus. They're going to be waiting there. See my dad again. Got any lost ones? Got any lost ones? We all do. I guess what God is, sorry about the, that's just me. I guess the message that is being sent to us here, there's times that we go through life. There's desperation times that we go through. There's times of hopelessness. There's times that we face despair. You know what despair is? Disrepair. It just ain't going to happen. Good English. It's not going to happen. But Jesus is the God of disrepair. He's the God of hopelessness. He's the God of desperation who brings us on top of these things. And having said it, friends, even ourselves, or you've had other people say it of you, have you ever had people say it of you? It's too late. Maybe the doctor said it. Maybe your financial advisor said it. Maybe you've said it for your condition. Maybe the doctors have said it. Too late. Circumstances and what it looks like, too late. With Jesus, it's never too late. That's why everything you see, the miraculous that Jesus does when during his earthly ministry, and then the culmination of raising this dead man from death, it shows us there's not one circumstance in the living or the circumstance afterlife. None of us know what it's like to die unless you've had a near-death experience. Then you have a little bit of a clue. But it's something we do fear, is death, because we don't know. But if you start reading some stories, you find that people who knew Jesus, beyond description, what they see, what they sense, and what they experience, that's waiting for us. Even while their bodies are going through contortions of dying, you see, this is what we think about when we're dying. Horrible accident, or this happened, or whatever going on. That when you come to that point, our spirit comes out of us. We're able to look back on whatever's going on. Isn't God gracious? We don't know it all. And I'm just saying things that I've read about that people experienced, but also things putting it together with what Jesus said is going to take place. You don't have to fear death. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? When I looked at my dad's grave, I saw my dad's name there, the time he died, the date, and that he served the U.S. Navy. It's hard. But you know something that was greater than the plaque that I saw on my dad's grave? Was I knew that there's a legacy that he left. The whole time in Niagara Falls, people coming up and saying, your father did this, your father did, if it wasn't for your father, he was such a gracious, he left a legacy. It's not the tombstone. That's just to remind us where he is. He's been buried. But his legacy through Christ lives on in people's lives. Praise God. And so does Jesus. He invested his life in 12 men. And there's a legacy that he left. But the one thing different with Jesus is they tried to put him in a tomb with a tombstone. But the legacy is that he lived as well. Isn't that good news? Hallelujah. Praise God. It's never too late when you examine the story. It's never too late for the Lord's delay when we're waiting for things to happen. That's all you need to know is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What Jesus did back then, he's able to do today. And he says, because I'm doing it and I never change, I will do it in the future as well. That's who I am. Alpha, Omega, beginning and ending. Jesus' delay in the story here, you know, one can look at it and say, well, how callous, how uncaring. And I used to think that, why did Jesus just say, I can't stay, I must go. To people he loved. He loved Lazarus. He loved his sisters, Mary and Martha. But I have to go. I can't stay. I can't heal him. Doesn't it make you question a little bit? Jesus did that not out of carelessness or thoughtlessness. How did Jesus do it then? Why did he have this delay? and some of us don't like to hear it because we're waiting and we are in delay, is that it's because of the love of Jesus. That's why he delayed. Someone here today, you're waiting on Jesus to do something for you. You're waiting for your Christian faith to kick in, to do something of a need, to take care of a need that you've got. You're believing God, you've been believing God, maybe you just started believing God, and you're hearing whispers over here in this camp, whispers over there in that camp, reading the Bible and really not sure what's going on, except you do run over scriptures and verses that say, ask and I'll give. Well, that's all you need to know. That's all you need to know is the record of Jesus, not only in the New Testament times, but way back at the beginning of time, all the way through, God's record is perfect. He never changed. Because God is love. And it was the love of Jesus, the love of God, the love of the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, all in one, that caused a short delay. They didn't understand. Do you ever get your knickers in a knot when God hasn't answered me? It's 12:35 and I just prayed 5 minutes ago. I prayed, I've been praying for a month. Get this thing and throw it against the wall. Because what we don't understand is his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And when you're trying to put out God's going to do something in your life, and I've got to say this about mine, it's futile. Because God is orchestrating sometimes people on the other side of the world. You don't even know, and nor will you ever know till you get to heaven, who have been placed under the unction of the Holy Spirit anointing to pray for something they don't know what they're praying for. And that's you. God's orchestrating that to take place. And all of a sudden it has another effect on another group of people, and it just, he's connecting all of these. It's a symphony, friends, that's going on for you, and it's going on for me. He's orchestrating something so that when we get to the end of what we've been expecting, the first thing that's got to come out of our mouth is, hallelujah, praise God, he did it. And he did it because he loved me. Hallelujah, boy, I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I'm preaching myself happy this morning. You need to know that, again, Hebrews 13:8 is there. To believe Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. In fact, why don't you do this? Why don't you just turn to your neighbor and say, knock him, tap him on the shoulder. You must be waiting for something from Jesus. Go ahead, Tom. Someone engage Tom here. You must be waiting for something from Jesus. And just tell them before you turn around, I'm waiting for something from Jesus too. So am I. So am I. Praise God. You see, when the waiting period was going on, when there were, that delay was going on, when Martha asked and Mary asked, Lazarus died, and Jesus comes back, there was a delay. What was the delay happen? Why was it there? Again, I just sort of explained it in a roundabout way, but you see, we could look at it maybe in a different light or maybe different verbiage. Delay sometimes spells recipe. A delay in time sometimes spells making something R-I-P-E. Who here has ever eaten an unripened apple? Bitter, bitter, bitter. Or a piece of fruit of your favorite, and it was not ripe, bitter. Why? Because it's not ready to eat, and it will make you sick. God's not dumb. He just wants us to be a little smarter, and he teaches us these things. So it's never too late when you have Jesus. Very quickly and moving on. Never too late for the dead in Christ. You know, there's the Bible term that the Bible uses. It says that he sleeps. Jesus said he's sleeping. Martha said he's dead. Jesus says, no, he's sleeping. Why? there's a difference. In the Greek word, for resurrection is anastasis, which means a standing up or a rising up. There will be a literally, and this is what a fellow said, he's a Bible commentary person, he said this, there will be a literal rising or standing up of all who have died believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of death with Jesus, it's never too late. It's never too late. So all the people that said, well, Jesus didn't answer my prayer, it's too late. It's not too late. One day my dad will rise. One day my loved ones will rise. One day we will, if we're still alive, we'll be changed and we'll be going up with those that have passed on before us. It's never too late for those who are in despair or that despair in things in life. Martha, like many of us today, there's something about having the faith, not having the now faith. You know what the not having the now faith is? I believe God's going to heal me, but in his time. I believe God's going to heal me, but whenever he's ready, when my faith is ready. Well, the Bible doesn't say that at all. The Bible says if you want to know what faith is and a good nugget of it, go to the book of Hebrews. Take a look. It starts out now, faith. Is not tomorrow, not waiting, but now. Every time Jesus moved, there was a miraculous thing that took place now. We've been under the guise of so many different voices, of so many different opinions. I don't want someone else's opinion. I don't want another religion's opinion about what Jesus does and how he says things are going to be taken care of. Well, when I read his word, when I listen to his voice, he says just the opposite. Now faith is. Now faith is. Stand on it. Let's stand on it together as a church, as single believers. Now faith says I'm healed now. Now faith says I'm blessed now. Even in the midst of going through turbulent waters in your life. Because it will come to pass. Doesn't take much faith, friends, to believe in the future, does it? Well, I'm just waiting for the future. I'm believing God for the future. And I've said it. I'm talking about me when I'm saying all these things. I'm just believing God in the future. But it takes a lot of faith, great faith, to believe while you're sick, I'm healed. My finances are down the drain. I'm blessed. And on and on and on the list goes. It's never too late when you have Jesus with you. And I'll close with these. For your marriage, it's never too late. For your broken relationships, it's never too late. For your career and your finances, it's never too late. Your dysfunctional family members, and maybe your whole family is dysfunctional, it's never too late. Too much time in jail, too many arrests, too much time on the streets, never too late. Anything or anyone, it's never too late. But you have to put your hope and your trust in Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. Can we sing that last song one more time just to rake it a little bit, get the ashes off the hot coals and let it burn? Amen. Is that a new song? Yeah. I was listening to you sing it when I was out. Man, I tell you what, I was just. If you want prayer for anything this morning, friends, if you're visiting here, we thank you that you've come along and visited. You know, we are a perfect church. I want you to know this. We're a perfect church. So you need to keep on coming here. Thank you. We're all perfect saints. So you don't leave this place. No, what I want you to know is that we're all vagabonds, we're all liars, we're all cheats, we're all those people that have come out of the mire and the muck. And Jesus has cleansed us and is changing and transforming our lives. So don't point the finger, because I'm not going to point my finger. because I know I got God's finger on me. He's got His finger on you. Amen? Praise God. If you need prayer this morning, you make your way forward.